Welcome again to another edition of Liberty Unwrapped.
I am your host, Ken Molman, and this is the My View Matters Radio Network.
Well, let's see here. I suppose we should go ahead and get started like we do every week with the random political rhetoric generator. This week's randomly generated political rhetoric is, I will not stand for an America where suicide bombers and overseas manufacturers can take away our delicious apple pies. And, let's see here. I think for the spurious correlation for this week, Thanksgiving themed, of course, online revenue on Thanksgiving correlates directly with visitors to Disney World's Animal Kingdom over a five-year period correlates from 2008 to 2012. So if the more you buy on Thanksgiving online, the more people visit Disney World's Animal Kingdom? Not really so much. And then co-host David picked up one as well, a little closer to home. Online revenue on Thanksgiving is inversely correlated with the divorce rate in Kentucky. So if you didn't buy stuff online in Thanksgiving, you're causing someone to get divorced, right? And that's why we bring up that correlation isn't like causation, and that there are two entirely different things. Anyhow, so that's where we start. I hope everybody had a good Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving being my favorite holiday. It's eat and talk and hang out with no pressure to buy presents for people, trying to figure out what it is that people need that they don't already have and whatever. And it's, I don't know. I just think it's a lot better of a holiday than having to deal with all that pressure for buying gifts and all that silliness. So I had a good Thanksgiving. I always enjoy Thanksgiving. So, all right, well, getting to the show here. As you may recall, last week we had some technical difficulties, and so there were some stories we didn't get to that I wanted to get to, the first of which was that 30,000 of the missing emails from Lois Lerner, the IRS person, the head former IRS chief, have been recovered. And basically, the short version of the story is that despite claiming that the information was gone, that the hard drives had been erased, that somehow everything had been absolutely destroyed, which is in violation of federal law, somehow they were able to then go, oops, never mind, and they found them. So the U.S. Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration informed congressional staffers from several committees on Friday, this is Friday 2 weeks ago now, that the emails were found among hundreds of disaster recovery tapes that were used to back up the IRS mail system. So in other words, the backups did in fact continue to exist. They claimed that it would just be too darn hard to get those and find them. But it's been, I guess the point is that they have the emails now. And so I don't know that they have them all. I think it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out and whether they continue with this, because I have a strong suspicion that neither D's nor R's want this thing to actually go anywhere, because I think at the end of the day, there may have been some R fingerprints on this as well, that the establishment R's especially, who don't like the Tea Party, have absolutely been working to crush the Tea Party folks. And in fact, that's another story that's out now. And this is from just after the election. The establishment Republicans really believe that this is the victory for the establishment, that they've won this all on their own, that the Tea Party folks weren't relevant or didn't matter. It didn't matter that they had defeated all these Tea Party folks. It didn't matter how they had defeated all these Tea Party folks. And in fact, I would say that by the very actions of many Tea Partiers themselves, by going out, quote unquote, holding their nose for the Republican candidate, absolutely does. I think there's a case to be made that essentially the establishment has figured out that, hey, it doesn't matter by hook or by crook, however we get people to vote for us in the primary, they'll come out for us in the general. And between that and Obama supporters' support waning because he's pretty much failed to do anything that he had promised to do, they were able to retake the U.S. Senate. Now, everybody's making a big deal out of this. Like, and this is the hilarious part. The one that really makes me laugh, just laugh out loud, are the people that act like this has never happened before. That the Republicans have never had the House and the Senate at the same time. I mean, boy, we're really going to get to see what happens now. I mean, we've never seen this before. Yeah, we did. It was 1994 when the Republicans kind of took over Congress, and it wasn't until 2006 when the American people just threw their hands up in total disgust over war and spending and a lot of other things that the Democrats took the House back in 2006 and the Senate. I can't remember if that was 06 or 08 now, but it's actually in the last two decades, there's been more Republican control of Congress than there has of Democrat control. And I think it's hilarious that people don't even know that. It's like, you just want to smack them upside the head and just say, really? I mean, you don't even belong in this game if you don't even understand what happened not even a decade ago. I mean, it was 2006 when the Republicans got wiped out in the massive sweep, and it wasn't even a decade ago. It was 8 years ago. And yet these people claim to be, oh, yeah, I'm really big into politics, and I follow this closely. And they try to tell me, oh, well, you're doing the wrong thing because, you know, you just need to get on board with the Republicans or even sometimes get on board with the Democrats because, you know. And it's like, oh, wait a second. You're somebody who doesn't even know what happened 8 years ago. You're telling me that you have the answer and you know what you're doing. You're a moron. Shut up. Because seriously, I've been actively involved now for – actively involved was actually 2006. So I've been very active since 2006, 8 years. But I've been paying attention since the 90s, and I've also done research to figure out what went on behind that, before that. And it's really stupid when people are like, oh, yeah, well, this never happened. It's like, no, dude, that actually did happen. No, it didn't. It's really easy to prove. And then there's the big ones. You know, we've talked about on the show before about how Perot was not the one that caused Bush to lose. And there's plenty of good data out there that shows that at worst, he cost Bush 5 electoral votes. But because the margin between Bush and Clinton was so wide, 5 electoral votes didn't make a lick of difference. Because remember, it's an electoral college race, and that's the thing that really drives me crazy. Are people that don't even understand how the election works, yet are telling me how to vote and that I'm an idiot because I'm not voting the way they think I should. Really? Perhaps, sir, you should actually understand the election you're voting in and what it actually means and how it actually works before calling someone who does understand all that an idiot. And these are the same people that just went out and held their nose and voted for a D or an R, even though, especially here in Kentucky, the candidates were not that strong, they were not that good, especially on the Republican side. We had 30 years of history to show that the Republican candidate, McConnell, was horrible. 30 years of history. We had a record. Yet, we as Kentuckians, individually, but as Kentuckians, we not only sent McConnell back, but with a mandate. A 16-point mandate saying we wanted McConnell back. And why? Well, you know, certainly we, you know, 16-point difference. I mean, it's going to be a close race, and that was one they kept telling them. I kept trying to tell people, no, it's not going to be close. We heard, well, you know, your guy can't win. Well, no, if nobody votes for him, he can't win. We heard all kinds of interesting, stupid things. And it's just ridiculous, absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, the point is that all we've done is we've empowered these same people, and they still don't get it, and they won't get it, because the message you've sent them is it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what they do. It doesn't matter how they vote. It doesn't matter anything. As long as they scare you by saying that other guy will be worse, they're going to vote for you. You're going to vote for them. That's just stupid. That's like the mob, you know, taking and shaking businesses down and going, hey, you better be thankful it's us. If it was the mafia, it'd be 10% more. I mean, that's just ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous. And now, in turn, what's going to happen is they're going to start pushing the Tea Party people out of the Republican Party. The Democrats have also been clamping down. It's not been widely reported, but they've been clamping down as well and going for the purity thing. And by purity, it's not about ideology. It's not about philosophy. It's about lockstep. What's the word I'm looking for? Being just lockstepping with the party in general, you know, that you're just doing whatever the party bosses say without question. Unquestioning loyalty is what I guess I'm trying to say. And that's what's going to happen. And we've seen this process, D's and R's, the last presidential cycle, where the decisions of votes that were supposed to be happening on the floor, the convention floor, were ramrodded through over top of what the delegates actually wanted, where it was very clear how the vote came out. It was pushed through anyway. And so you have to ask the question, who's in control? And it's not us. The problem is that people are too easily corralled to continue to keep putting those same people in control. All these people that, I mean, just hilarious. The people, we put McConnell in there and he's going to repeal Obamacare. He's going to repeal it. He's going to repeal it. Yeah. So about that, McConnell and actually Rand Paul as well have come out and basically guaranteed that there won't be a repeal of Obamacare. Repeal Obamacare, it will cause too much political harm to whoever is running for president in 2016 for the Republican Party. And so all these Tea Party folks that were like, well, you know, I got to vote for McConnell because, I mean, he's going to get rid of Obamacare. No, no, he's not. So congratulations, guys. I mean, you're going to get what you get, and it's what you voted for, and whatever. And likewise, on the Democratic side, you really think it – I don't know. You guys, both sides, you got to figure out you're getting played. You guys are being used as pawns in a game. You are the pawns in someone else's game. And you're going to continue to be until you're willing to stand up and say, I'm not going to be a pawn anymore. I stood up and did that, can't remember how many years ago now. A lot. 1998-ish. And till you do the same, you're still just a pawn in their game. Speaking of pawns and games, or I guess that's kind of actually a bad segue into the story. But anyway, it doesn't matter. This is just a fun thing. They did a likability thing. This is a common survey thing, right, where when you do surveys, you ask people, do they like or dislike someone? And sometimes it's just a yes or no with a maybe or don't know in the middle. So it's like a three-tier scale, like, don't know, maybe, or don't like. Or they do the five-tier where it's like strongly like, somewhat like, don't know, or neutral, somewhat dislike, strongly dislike. They did a poll. Just favorability ratings in general, and they call this a net favorability rating. So they take the number of people in favor, and they take the number of people not in favor, and they add them together, and they come up with a percentage. So coming in number one in all of this, and they added politicians and Star Wars characters. So the number one vote-getter, as it were, was Luke Skywalker, with a close second by Han Solo, both up in the 90% range. Just under Han Solo is Yoda at, I'd say it's about 88% favorability. Next on the list is Darth Vader. Darth Vader is just shy of 30%, or what they call plus 30, in favorability. followed by Boba Fett at about 18%, followed by Hillary Clinton, who is also at about 18%, followed by Mike Huckabee, who is at about 12%, followed by Rand Paul, who is at a little under 10%, followed by Marco Rubio, who's also under 10, followed by Emperor Palpatine, who's at about 6, followed by Paul Ryan, followed by Rick Perry, followed by Bobby Jindal, followed by Barack Obama, who is down at about 4, followed by Elizabeth Warren, then Andrew Cuomo, and then from there it just gets tinier and tinier and tinier, and it doesn't matter anymore. Entertainingly, as you go down the list, those are all the people who are net positive, okay? Then you go down the net negatives, you end up with people like Jeb Bush, Rick Santorum, Jar Jar Binks, because he does need to die, John Boehner is under, he's worse than Jar Jar Binks, Pelosi is worse than Boehner, Reid is equal to Pelosi, McConnell is worse than Reid, and all of Congress is way, way down at like negative, I don't know what that even is, 80-something percent. The point is that we here in Kentucky just reelected a guy who is twice as unpopular as Jar Jar Binks. Way to go, guys. Way to go. In a completely different story, and I find this interesting because of the libertarian, the broader small L libertarian movement over labeling. There is a lawsuit that Hellman's mayonnaise, those guys, Hellman's has filed against a company named Hampton Creek, who has come up with a product called Just Mayo, and Just Mayo does not contain eggs. Now, this is a big deal because there are people who have egg allergies. There are other people who just don't want to eat eggs, and then there are other people that have some sort of moral objection to how chickens are treated, blah, 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 and that's fine, whatever. I don't care what your reason is. But they've created a product called Just Mayo. And in return, Hellman's is suing, claiming that mayo makes people think of mayonnaise, which, by the way, that is true, and that mayonnaise, as defined by the federal by the FDA, FDA requires that any product labeled as mayonnaise must be an emulsified semi-solid food prepared from vegetable oils, specific acidifying ingredients, and egg yolk containing ingredients. And it may also contain one or more other optional ingredients, including salt. So because Just Mayo does not contain eggs, it meets all the other things here, but not eggs. Hellman's is suing Hampton Creek, the people who make Just Mayo. And so the question is, should they be allowed to call that mayo? Especially if they advertise, and I don't know how they advertise this stuff. I don't like mayonnaise, so whatever. But if they advertise it as an eggless mayonnaise, what I understand from the story, that an eggless mayonnaise is what this stuff is. Now, there is actually case law on point to this. Entertainingly, this is not the first time that we've been discussing mayonnaise in the nation's federal courts. Miracle Whip, once upon a time, was basically prohibited from calling themselves a mayonnaise. And apparently, that's why Miracle Whip lives over in the salad dressing aisle and why they call themselves salad dressing. Even though I don't know of anybody who actually intentionally uses Miracle Whip as a salad dressing. I grew up in a Miracle Whip family, just in case you were wondering. But it's an interesting scenario because the question is it fraud to call this stuff mayo? Is it fraud if they even say it's an eggless mayonnaise? Because the question is, what is mayonnaise? I kind of know, and you kind of know what mayonnaise is. Anybody who's been around for a while has a pretty good idea what mayonnaise is. Just like everybody kind of knows what ranch dressing is and that kind of stuff. Right? I mean, people know this stuff. Oh, apparently there's also one called Veganaise, which, based on the name, I'm guessing is vegan. The point, do you think we should be allowed, or should companies be allowed, to market these products as mayonnaise? Especially if they put on the front label, you know, eggless mayonnaise, or whatever, vegan mayonnaise, right? Because people know generally what vegan means. People understand what eggless means. And people kind of understand what mayonnaise is. And I personally think as long as it's labeled as eggless or vegan, whatever, it should be okay to use that term. Because otherwise, if it's not allowed to use the term mayo, Miracle Whip, right? If you weren't familiar with the years and years of marketing behind Miracle Whip, would you know that Miracle Whip is considered a mayonnaise competitor? I grew up in a Miracle Whip family, so the first time I was exposed to the Hellmann's was like when I was like 12, and never liked it. But shouldn't that be allowed to be called mayonnaise too, as long as they specify what it is? Because generally speaking, even though there is a difference between Hellmann's and Miracle Whip, it's the same basic thing. It's a goofy white sauce you put on bread to help your food go down. It has a certain kind of sort of taste, right? Miracle Whip's a lot sweeter than Hellmann's. In fact, I've had the Just Mayo before. I can't remember. It seems like I've had that Just Mayo because they have a bunch of flavors, if I remember right. I think I had one of their flavors. Anyhow, the point is that when you think of mayo, when you think of mayonnaise, you're thinking of basically a white sauce that's a lot of oils that just kind of helps lubricate things as you're eating food, and it's, you know, helping you swallow food, right? I mean, it has a certain basic taste to it. That's what you think of when you think of mayo, right? You're not thinking when you hear the word mayonnaise, you're not thinking an emulsified semi-solid food prepared from vegetable oil, specific acidifying ingredients, and egg yolk containing ingredients that may contain one or more other optional ingredients, including salt. That is not, I guarantee you, what ran through your head, unless you work at Hellmann's. And even then, only if you're in their legal department or have been following this case. And so the question is, should they be allowed? Should they be allowed to market this stuff as mayo, mayonnaise, whatever? And if you'd like to call in after the break, 858-683-1326, 858-683-1326, to get your take on mayo. Because it is, entertainingly, a big deal in libertarian circles, the whole labeling thing. You know, what's fraud, what's not, whatever. Wow, that story got stuck in the wrong place, but that's all right. Continuing on where we were heading before the Mayo story, I had a couple of interesting about how federal agencies are using more and more undercover operatives. They're inserting themselves into certain organizations that they're intentionally trying to target organizations to find any sort of wrongdoing within those organizations and specifically targeting them. And this type of activity, the hounding of certain organizations, is not new, it's not unique, but it's taken a whole new, it's taken a whole new turn in that there are better, more efficient ways to hound people these days than there would have been in the past. In the past, it would have been maybe taps, phone taps, that kind of stuff. Now, you know, and I should say that phone taps and that kind of stuff, as a result of some of the abuses of the past, have had laws passed and court cases ruled upon that help protect us from being overly scrutinized and given due process and innocent until proven guilty protections for a lot of those things that were done in the past to harass people. Still today, there are people who are claimed anyway to be harassed by the IRS personally to get audited for political purposes. Personally, I always pay more to the IRS in case because that way I don't have to worry about it, right? Because here's the thing. I look forward to the day I get that audit and I go, oh, hey, by the way, you owe me $500. Because that's great. That would be a lot of fun to just cram that right up somebody's butt, right? Oh, you're going to audit me? Great. Looking forward to the paycheck. So that's the kind of thing that the point, I guess, is that the government has been specifically targeting groups in different ways to harass them. And in fact, one of the interesting things that they're doing now is they're intentionally using malware and spyware on people's machines. All the stuff that's supposed to be fighting terrorism and all that stuff is being used. The information is being shared with other agencies. And so because one group or another might get labeled as a potential terrorist organization, they are targeting these groups and are trying to get malware, spyware, that kind of stuff on everything so that they can then collect that information and look through certain organizations. Now, it may be that they aren't doing anything terrorist related or anything like that, of course, because the net that they throw is a very large net. But if it's a group that they don't like or don't like what they're doing or whatever, they're finding them violating laws, whether intentionally or unintentionally, violating laws outside the scope of terrorism, and they're handing off that information to other agencies. That's been going on for a while now. We talked about that on the show, I don't know, a year ago? More? I can't even remember. It's been going a long time. So in response to this, because of all of this, there's a group that got together to create a new malware detection tool called Detect, D-E-T-E-K-T. And it is specifically targeted at state surveillance. It's targeted at the stuff that the governments are using to attack you and your computer and spy on you. This has been put together by EFF, the Electronic Freedom Foundation, or Frontier, along with Amnesty International, Digital Gesellschaft, and Privacy International. And they're all to do this because one of the things that's happening is they're actually targeting journalists, because journalists have sources. In the past, the government has always protected those sources. Well, what they're doing is they're getting around the old laws with technology in areas that the government hasn't ruled are protected, and in fact, in some cases, have rolled back the protections that we once had for things like wiretapping. All of a sudden, because it's now an like IP phone instead of a traditional POTS, as we call it, plain old telephone system line, for some reason, it's okay to spy on it because it's an IP phone, even doing things that are just truly devious and diabolical, like intentionally routing calls through other countries so they can say, well, we're monitoring international traffic. Well, that call didn't have to go international. You forced it to. Yeah, but we're monitoring international traffic. And that's not cool. So the point is that this software is out here exposing the illegitimate state surveillance. And we had talked some time ago about a particular branch of Linux that was being created to specifically try to lock down and protect yourself from that as well. It's there. And so entertainingly, this is another example of how the free market resolves problems. The government created the problem by spying on people and throwing very large nets and doing very bad things to the rights of individuals. And in response, individuals have come together to fight it. And there's nothing that could be truer to the free market than that. Challenge, solution. Not from the government. The government created the challenge. People created the solution. And one more quick hit before we go to break, because this is just entertaining to me. E-cigarette, the batteries. Apparently, someone in China has been putting malware into the chargers, the USB chargers. with the idea that when they're plugged into your computer, they can infect your computer. And there was a big story about this. Now, I don't know whether to take it as true or not. There's a lot of silly, crazy panic stories out there about e-cigarettes because the pro-ban nannies are going absolutely nuts over the rise of the e-cigarettes. And in fact, here in Kentucky, apparently there's going to be a push to ban everything except for the quote-unquote cig-alikes, the ones that look like cigarettes that aren't refillable, that are disposable. And that's going to be pushed by Big Tobacco because Big Tobacco basically owns all those companies. But, I don't know if, like I said, I guess the point is I don't know if this is real or not, right? If this is just a fearmonger story or not. But it does bring up a broader point. Be careful what you plug into your computer. Be careful where you go on the internet. Be careful where you're getting your information from, because it could be infected information. It could be infected website, or it could be an infected e-cigarette charger. And I'm dead serious. It was a big story about this. I know it sounds silly, but it's absolutely possible that it's the case. It's absolutely possible that that is the case. All right, folks, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls. You can call in at 858-683-1326. Again, 858-683-1326. Co-host Dave will join us as well. And when you call in, if you want to talk, you got to hit the 1 button to know, so we know. Otherwise, we don't know, because you can just call in and listen too, which is completely legit as well. You are listening to Liberty Unbridled on the My View Matters Radio Network. Folks, we'll be back here in just a few moments.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Get all this mess I'm in. I can stand. being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
All right, folks, and we're back. You're listening to Liberty Unbridled on the My View Matters radio network. Let's see here. Co-host Dave, you're going to be joining us here in just a moment. And actually, during the break, we had somebody calling that wanted to talk, so I'm going to bring them on now. Don, you're on the air.
Yeah, I didn't really get the Mayo part, unless you're talking about Mao Zedong. But the thing that really sent a chill up my spine is that, is there any evidence that libertarians are being targeted?
I don't have anything specific at this time, personally. I know in the past we were. My understanding, and I've talked to some folks at Libertarian Party, the national organization, and apparently back in the 70s, there was a big concern as we were, you know, growing and becoming a new organization and a new movement. That apparently the FBI did have people planted in order to view or observe what was going on. And that's my understanding. Now, obviously, I wasn't around then. You know, and it's not unreasonable, I guess, that the government would want to at least know that people aren't, you know, threatening to do violence or anything like that. But obviously, being libertarians, we're not about violence. So I would hope, anyway, that that would be the case, that, that people would know that. But, you know, DHS, I mean, I've given the example before. I think I've given it on the show. When I used to travel for a living after 9/11, this is 2005, 2006 time frame, 2007. I used to travel for a living, and every single time I got on a plane, I got the quote-unquote random screening. Every single time.
Every single time.
I was once rechecked at the gate, which that's, I mean, have you, most people don't know anybody who's actually been rescreened at the gate. I've been. You know, and one of the criteria, or some of the criteria that they had specifically outlined, were things like, you know, are you, they don't use the ethnic stuff. Are you the leader of an organization that is for smaller government? That was one of the criteria for DHS to
really.
And that was a published list. There was a state list, state DHS. I want to say it was Alabama. It was a state that began with an A. This has been years ago.
Arkansas.
Now, but it could have been Arkansas, Alabama, any state that begins with an A. It was one of those.
All right.
But their state DHS actually had a list of criteria that would get you put on the list, right? And the more you hit, the more likely you were. Military veterans was on that list, which I was like, really? Military veterans? That's kind of hardcore. We don't even trust the people that we used to trust to go shoot people for us. What? You know, the problem is that I really think it's becoming an us versus them scenario, and I think it's escalating. I mean, we look at congressional approval ratings, and they've never been – I mean, it's been so low for so long now. People don't like the government. They don't trust the government. You look at millennials, and millennials are typically pretty socially liberal, but they don't necessarily want the government to do those things because they don't trust the government. It has nothing to do with do they think government should or shouldn't be doing it. It's everything to do with they don't trust government. And in some ways, I understand. I had a conversation with somebody about this, that, you know, the millennials grew up in an era where Bill Clinton was on TV and told a bold-faced lie, right? They grew up in an era where Bush was called a liar nonstop. So all these people know. And then they've lived through Obama, who made grand promises and failed on almost all of them, right? So all they know is a government that lies. And so I think the problem is then it becomes the people distrust government, and then the government's like, well, wait a second, you don't trust us? Well, maybe we don't trust you. And that's, I think, the economy that's starting to happen, the wedge, is it's almost a modern have and have not, but it's not about money, it's about power.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what's coming to fruition now, and I think that that's what we're seeing. Did that kind of a long rant there, but does that answer your question?
Well, I think what's going on is not that governments have become more oppressive or corrupt over the ages. I think we're just more aware of it nowadays.
Yeah,
so there's
I
transparency. Yeah.
And there's better tools for them to spy on us, right? We now have the internet,
yeah.
We have all that stuff. And the provisions that used to protect us, the wiretapping laws and Fourth Amendment protections and Fifth Amendment
yeah.
protections, and all these protections are not being enforced by the courts, digital realm. Well, what the heck isn't digital these days? Everything's digital.
Right. Right.
And so, you know, what used to be, as I said before, you can't get a wiretap. That's a no-no. But you know what? If your call, and understand, most phone calls now are routed over the internet. At some point, they hit the internet, and they go out. So, they just happened to route your call to Canada just because they can, and then route it back. Well, now it's left the country. We can go ahead and monitor that because it's left the country. And it's cheating. It's you're getting around all the old rules through technology, and I think that's the real issue I have with it all, is that it's all that way. And I brought co-host Dave on here now that he's back and he's on the line too. I think that's my big issue, is that the Constitution has been thrown out the window when it comes to the Supreme Court and the federal courts enforcing the provisions of the Constitution when it comes to technology and new tech. And I don't know if it's because they don't understand it or because they don't have any body of law that they feel they have to continue. Maybe they think they're in a new frontier.
Mm-hmm.
But I can tell you that a lot of these rulings have been horrible, absolutely horrible.
Oh, yeah. Maybe at our next convention or some other event, we'll get somebody who really understands, you know, the tech. I'm also interested in just seeing, you know, how bad is it? Has it been getting worse over the past generations, et cetera? Or did we just, you know, more aware of things, you know, that kind of stuff? And I think one of the reasons they're not really stomping on us is because, you know, all of us have friends that are involved in the Republicans or Democrats, and so, you know, they pull up one string and all of a sudden they find out, you know, like we're everywhere, and we can embarrass them that way. But maybe I'm being just optimistic in terms of looking at things that way.
I mean, they can do anything they want to. I mean, that's really what it comes down to at this point.
Right,
and
it's a risk of, but it's a risk of political capital on their part.
Yes, I agree with you that anything they do has a repercussion. Again, in the free market, it may just be the free market of public perception, but
mm-hmm.
it still does have absolutely that problem.
Okay. All right. I hope to see you at a meetup soon, and we'll talk again.
All right, Don. Good to talk to you. Thanks for calling in, sir. Have a good one. And co-host Dave, you're on the line here. Your thoughts on whatever we've talked about.
Well, I don't think that, Don brings up a really good point. You think about the technology, the way that it's changing, and, you know, government intrusion, or, you know, just as an overarching term, I think that's really what we're talking about here, is government intrusion. But government intrusion into our private lives. I don't believe that government intrusion into our private lives is getting worse, as in, like, the desire for that. I don't think the desire for it is getting any worse. I think the technology is getting better, and so it's facilitating it far more easily. And so a desire that was, you know, there and was extremely difficult, in ages past, can be very easily realized now and ever increasingly so. I think that kind of the way to combat that, you know, is, as we all know, you know, government doesn't tend to stay on top of, changes as well as the rest of us do. It's a little slower, for them than for the rest of us. I think the problem that we're seeing is, as you alluded to, Ken, people trust the government less and less. And so the generation that's taking over trusts the government less, and therefore they're less inclined to get involved with themselves, which would bring about positive change. And so what you're left with, are those that want to get involved for rather nefarious reasons, their own reasons. They don't want to get involved to, make things better. They want to get involved to make their own personal lives or whatever it happens to be, as you alluded to again, the power. They want to accrue more power, the Darth Vaders and Emperor Palpatines of the world.
Yeah, I love the fact that Emperor Palpatine is more popular than some of the people for president. But and front runners at that, for that matter, more popular than Jeb Bush or Hillary Clinton. And those are both considered the front runners, or some of the front runners for the major parties. I think it's hilarious. And sadly, if those guys are the nominees, one of them will probably win because, again, people will be like, well, at least he's not Emperor Palpatine. it frustrates me to no end. I'm actually interested also in your take on the mayonnaise thing, because the labeling, if you're interested in that issue at all.
I don't get too much into the labeling issues because I kind of don't care. But I do get – it does chap my ass when people start using words for all the wrong reasons. My degree's in English. I have an affinity for words and etymology and the history of words and where they come from. And when you start having a government – define a word, it just nothing goes good after that. It just doesn't. So my take on it is it's complete and total BS. Mayonnaise is not a trademarked term, shouldn't be, in the common language, and it should not be defined by government.
Well, and I tend to agree with you that to me, my personal opinion on the whole thing, I think I made it pretty clear, is that as long as you know what you're buying, who cares? Really, who cares? If it says vegan mayonnaise, I know that that's like mayonnaise that's been made vegan. Or if it's eggless mayonnaise, I know it's mayonnaise that has no eggs in it. Whatever. I don't know. Just that kind of stuff. It chaps me because as long as somebody's not trying to perpetrate a fraud, okay, and that's the main thing, right? If somebody packaged ketchup and labeled it mayonnaise and was trying to put ketchup off as mayonnaise, then I'd have a problem with it, right? Because it's obviously not mayonnaise. But if you say, hey, it's eggless mayonnaise, who doesn't know what that means? It's mayonnaise without eggs. It's really common sense at that point. I think that as long as you can, with a honest and straight face, say, hey, I know what I'm buying, or I know what I'm selling is exactly what it says it is, then, who cares? In who really, I just don't get it, and maybe it's because I'm not in the mayonnaise industry, that I'm not a hardcore mayonnaise purist, but I really just don't care, honestly, anyway. If you want to, oh no, we're weakening the definition of mayonnaise. Okay, who cares? I just don't care.
Yeah, that's my thought on it. I don't care. Come up with a product, call it what you want. If you want to call it something that doesn't make, and it has a definition, and that definition doesn't make sense in regards to the ingredients that you use to make your product, then maybe you're an idiot, but, so what? It still just does not matter. Are we going to have this conversation if somebody comes out with, a brand of chicken and they call it pizza? no, there's, you know, no bread in it. It's only chicken. But they call it pizza. Are we going to sue them? You know, because they called it pizza? Who cares?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Like I said, it just bugs me. As long as you're not trying to commit fraud, as long as you're not trying to say, yeah, this is mayonnaise, oh, trust us, it's mayonnaise, and it's not mayonnaise, you know, I'd have a problem with it. But, you know, it's in some ways I have to laugh and just say, you know, maybe these people should have called their product, I can't believe it's not mayonnaise. You know, I don't know. It just, to me, there's just something weird about it all that it's just hilarious. And I mean, I get it. You know, they, I guess Hellmann's wants to protect their, they're saying they're protecting what mayonnaise is. The reality is they've got kind of a monopoly on the whole mess and they're trying to keep other people out and they want to protect it, even though there is a push against eggs in general for health purposes or for whatever purposes, you know, whatever. I don't know. I just find the whole situation silly, but, you know, it does, like I said, for libertarians, a lot of libertarians get real hot about, you know, that because of the fraud issue. So, I don't know. You know, nobody else called in on it, so we'll move on from that, unless you want to talk more about it. All right, we've got 6 minutes left. We also talked about the Obamacare, how the Republicans, and specifically Ron, or not Ron, but Rand Paul and Mitch McConnell have said that they're not going to repeal Obamacare. Any thoughts on that?
Anybody that thought differently, I you know, wake up. Here's your sign.
Yeah, unfortunately, there were a lot of Tea Party folks especially that told me, oh, yeah, well, you know, I'm voting for Mitch because he's going to repeal Obamacare. I mean, that was like one of the main rally cries for voting for Mitch because he's going to repeal Obamacare. And I'm like, dude, he already said he's not going to do it. I mean, he did say he was going to do it, but now he said he's not going to do it. And I don't know, whatever.
I heard from those people too. You know, I feel just like you do on it. And the only thing that I can think to say to those people is, here's your sign. It's, you know, you've been waiting for a sign to show you whether or not you're on the right track. Here's your sign. That's why you voted for these people. Here's your sign.
Yeah, and I really wonder if it is a matter that some people are just never going to wake up and see that they're being played. I mean, how many times can you be lied to and be like, well, you know, I guess we'll just go back to that. You know, there was a joke floating around, and it went for a while, and then it died off, and then it came back. It died off because of the politically incorrect implications of it, but the battered voter syndrome, where it's like, oh, things will be different this time. You know, they've changed. It'll be so different this time. They've promised never to hurt me again and lie to me again. And every time. I mean, if you really think there's going to be anything substantive that comes out, I mean, look back to the Bush years. From 2000 to 2006, Bush had a Republican House and Senate. Spending went up. It went way, way up. And to top it all off, you had the bailouts, which occurred with Democrat and Republican support. Folks, it doesn't matter. You're being played in a game, and all that's happening here is we have corporations vying for power and special perks from government. It has nothing to do with what's right or what's wrong. It has nothing to do with what's right for you. It has everything to do with the corporations and who's getting what special perks and special carve-outs in law and all that kind of stuff. There's a reason that GE paid no taxes, whatever year that was, because they created all these loopholes and all these things in the law that – yeah, I mean, technically speaking, they're all there, and anybody could use them, quote-unquote, anybody could use them. But the reality is that unless you have a team of lawyers and you have lobbyists who specifically helped create these laws, chances are good you don't even know about these loopholes, much less would you be able to navigate the minefield of being able to claim them. And so there comes a point where you have to understand that the government isn't working for you. And once you realize that, you got to take a decisive step to correct that. And there are lots of different ways to go about what decisive step you choose. There's many different ones. But certainly doing the same thing you've always done is not the one. That's the wrong one. Doing what you've always done is the wrong step.
I totally agree with that. I think there is a lot of battered voter syndrome going on. And, okay, here, we have just a couple minutes left, so I'm going to give a parting thought here, and then I'm going to turn it over to you for the rest of the show. If you, dear listener, have at any point, especially recently, fallen for the bait and switch, I implore you, don't give up. Don't say, it's not worth it. I just get played every time. I'm not going to believe anything from anybody anymore. I'm just going to go away, and I'm not even going to pay attention anymore. Don't do that. I implore you, don't give up. Our lives and our way of life is worth fighting for. If you've fallen for the bait and switch, then do something. Get involved. Run against the person you thought you could trust. You be that candidate. Step up to the plate. Run. Run against them. Do it the way that you think it should have been done the first time. Keep the promises that they failed to keep to you. Or join a campaign with a candidate that is going to do that and run against the person that pulled the bait and switch on you and hold them to their promises. That's what I implore you to do. Get involved and don't just give up because for the billionth time you've been lied to and they turned around and did the exact opposite. Get involved, run against them, or get involved in a campaign running against that person.
And Dave, I couldn't have said it better myself, so I'm just not going to say anything at all other than, folks, got to do better. Got to do better. That's it. And I say that lots of times at the end of the show, but it's true. We've got to do better. Folks, that's the end of the show. I thank you for tuning in. Tune in the rest of the week for other shows, Monday through Thursday here at 7 o'clock. You have the Ed Springsteen Show, Day of the Truth. And for everybody on the network, I thank you for tuning in to another edition here of Liberty Unbridled on the My View Matters Radio Network. See you next week.